out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. It's the beginning of another week. It's Monday, the 19th of February, 2018. We would normally have Jez Turner on, but he's taking a break from things until after his trial, which we are going to be talking about here. And unfortunately, we've got another trial to talk about today. I say unfortunately, but I am very pleased that we've actually got this guest with us today. We've got Simon Shepherd from Heretical Publishing and Heretical.com with us today to talk about what's been going on with him and hate speech, accusations of hate speech, and all sorts of trouble that's happened in the last few months for him. Simon, how are you doing today?
I've been better.
I know you've been really put through the ringer just recently. It's hard to know where to start. I know recently there was a raid and your place got raided and they thought you were a terrorist, and obviously you're not a terrorist, but maybe we should start with that and what went on there.
Oh, well, yeah, it was complete and total overreaction. What basically happened was that I'm not in the best of health at the moment, and I've had weeks of pain in my mouth and also a lot of stress with my work, which involves chemistry. And I just blew my top at a Sky TV man and barracked him and was actually, rather nasty to him. But I just saw the mist, as they say, blew my top.
This was a Sky repairman, was it? Or was that something to do with Sky Broadcasting, the TV channel?
Yeah. Okay. And he was doing something to the TV setup of a African neighbour that the council has given a second home to nearby. And anyway, this resulted in the police coming round and arresting me, or trying to anyway. I was ill. And I just stayed in bed for about 5 days because I was just so ill. And they kept coming around day after day, battering on the door, which didn't make me feel any better. And eventually I phoned my solicitor and he said, "Well, you've just got to go in." And I said, "Well, yeah, okay." I didn't know what it was about. And so I went to the York Police Station, surrendered. And then I finally found out what it was all about, and then they came into my flat, and I suppose that they saw my lab, such as it is, and smelt chemical smells, which is probably the isopropyl alcohol that I use for cleaning glassware, and totally overreacted and called in the bomb squad and ambulances and police and the army, this bomb disposal squad. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, all the flats in the vicinity were evacuated. The place was a sea of blue lights. At least two doors got knocked in because they couldn't rouse the occupants. At this time I was actually in the cells at York, and then I was rearrested as a terrorism suspect and then taken to Northallerton, I think. And then I got the full terrorism treatment, the cell door open all the time under 24-hour monitoring, and it was completely over the top. And But eventually, you know, I know I commented the interview, and they got rather upset because I was talking to everybody except them when I was actually in interview. And eventually I was released and came back. But now I'm facing two charges of racially aggravated harassment because the black is claiming that, first of all, that he overheard me talking to the Sky TV man and he was offended. And secondly, that I've been, over a period of 2 years or something, shouting racial abuse at him, which is untrue.
So he's overheard you talking to the Sky TV man and just thought, yeah. I can have a go at him over this. I can pretend that he's used racially charged language and I can be offended at this because I'm black. So it's just professional victimhood.
I say that he can't have heard, you know, I did actually use the nigger word once, but he can't have heard it actually.
Well, it wasn't to him either, was it? That was to the Sky TV man. Private conversation.
Well, apparently in the law, and a lot of people don't realise this, but in the law, you can be charged for racially aggravated harassment to a white. I mean, if you went up to a white and said, oh, I hate niggers, and he got offended, you could be charged for it.
That's
how broad the law is.
So Sky TV man has complained.
I'm going to argue that being called a racist is worse than being called a nigger.
Well, it is, but just explain that. Explain your thinking behind that.
Well, it's not my thinking. I think it's just pure logic. The word racist is, you know, of recent invention. It was invented and is only ever used as a smear word. You know, it just doesn't make sense at all to talk of a good racist or a poor old racist, whereas nigger is a word that's been around for centuries and it's ambiguous. You could talk about a good nigger, you could talk about a poor old nigger, and moreover, blacks use it between themselves, you know, quite freely. So, you know, there's no doubt that being called a racist is worse than being called a nigger, because nigger is ambiguous.
Yeah, it's good thinking that. I'd like to know what the court are going to say about that.
The jury thinks about it, moreover.
The jury? Are you going to be defending yourself in the court?
No, that's... I hope I've got a good barrister. And the lawyer was very very supportive during the terrorism interview, I should say. So I'm hoping, you know, that I've got a chance of getting off it this time.
Well, what was the upshot of the accusations of terrorism? Because clearly you're not a terrorist. They must have discovered that you weren't a terrorist, and all the lab equipment was quite innocent, and you had your work reasons for it. But they'd kicked down two doors, woken everybody up in the street, and caused you a fair amount of stress and grief while you're ill. Did they apologise for that?
Yeah.
Did they apologise for that?
I normally use two computers, two full-size computers, and I had two spares. They took the lot. I mean, you know, I had to sue them to get them back.
So you sued them. Did you win when you sued them? Did you win any money from them?
Well,
did you get your equipment back?
It wasn't so much a win as on the morning of the first hearing, they capitulated. They said, you know, they contacted the court and said, we want to vacate the hearing because we're just going to give them in back. So I've now got them back. You know, I've only just got back to, that was on the 1st of February, I got them back. A man and a woman from the police came round with them and gave them, and it was quite a pleasant encounter, really. You know, it was quite pleasant with them, and they were quite friendly. But you know, I was without my work was very badly affected. You know, because obviously, you know, all the research had been, all the outcomes of the experiments and everything had been collated on the computers, and it didn't stall totally, but it was a great interference. And I live for my work. You know, that's how I am. You know, I'm. And I think the work I'm doing, well, I know the work I'm doing, is, you know, could be quite important.
Were you able to get some kind of some compensation for that? Did you ask?
I've got a legal friend that's that believes I've got a very strong case there, but I've got enough on my plate at the moment, so that's held in abeyance. Really, I really have got a lot on my plate at the moment, so I don't particularly want any more to deal with. He reckons that my case is even stronger than last time when I won against the police. I thought, what was that for? That was
an arrest and a search, and it was all unnecessary.
Yeah, false arrest, false imprisonment, all that. They didn't have any grounds at all. In fact, we saw the internal police documents that said there's no grounds. But they went ahead and did it anyway, and I got £8,000 out of them, which isn't a lot of money. I mean, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it to because there was a case some years ago in London, I believe it was, when there was a demonstration, a nationalist demonstration, and the police just decided that they were going to arrest every single nationalist on the demonstration, and lock them up for a while and then release them. And what should have happened is that everyone should have sued, because they had no grounds to do it, but not a single one did. And, you've got to fight back. Unfortunately, I'm the only one that seems to be doing it. But, if they don't meet any resistance, they're just going to keep going, because they're feminine. What females do is they just push and push and push, and they don't limit their own behaviour, and they don't limit each other's behaviour. So, there has to be an opposing force. This is one of the, I'm going into putting my psychologist hat on now. But everything is a dynamic system. There's everything in nature is a dynamic system. There's, a force on one side and a force on the other. If there's no opposing force, they'll just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's why nationalists are so persecuted by the state, because we are the opposing force. We're the only ones that are pushing back against their malevolent agenda.
And we must push back every time we get a chance to. Well, at least you're doing that, Simon. At least you're, working against them, saying you can't just push us around like this. So when is the court case then? I believe that's coming up soon. We want people to go along to support you as well, don't we?
Yeah, because in this case, I do think I've got a chance of getting off. I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm very nervous about it. It's Thursday the 22nd at York Crown Court, starting at 9:30.
So people need to get there for 9:30.
Because it is I think I do have a chance. I think if there are going to be some supporters, I know, I think that could help me in this case. If the jury sees that there are people there that are on my side, sort of thing. It could help.
It's always helpful. I mean, if somebody's there for thieving, robbing, mugging, they're not going to have anyone there to support them. But when it's somebody who's been politically persecuted, it shows, because you've got supporters there.
I think you're right. I don't know, really. I know that when Nick Griffin and Mark Collett? They at Leeds Crown Court, the court was absolutely packed, and they were acquitted, weren't they? It certainly would have made a difference that, for a start, Griffin's obviously very well versed in public speaking and he's quite verbal, verbally competent, which I don't think I am particularly. And the fact that the court was absolutely packed with his supporters.
Oh, that's good. Well,
I actually went there couldn't get in the courtroom. It was so full.
I heard it was like that for the Alison Chablot one a while back. They had to actually change the venue of the court because there were so many people there to support her.
Yeah, they've really shot themselves in the foot with her. I mean, you know, she might be actually convicted, but you know, this is what I mean about, you know, they just keep going and going. They always go too far. They always shoot themselves in the foot, and. You know, to prosecute a woman singer, it's just absurd, isn't it?
Well, I think all these prosecutions for political correctness are absurd, and the majority of the public think that they're completely absurd, but they don't realise that that's what's going on. They read about young men that have been arrested and charged with terrorism. They don't, and that's all they hear. They don't hear that the young men were arrested for putting stickers up. Or for having memes on their hard drive, and that's what they mean by terrorism. And if you take this case, you know, go on.
What's happening? One of the advantages of this sort of thing, and it is a cost. You know, I'm feeling the cost, but it does sharpen your perspective. In fact, I've just written an article for Heritage and Destiny called. I've got it here. Madness by media. But I'm thinking that what's basically happening is that the British people are very moral. You know, we have a very, you know, sense of morality. Just look at, you know, the abolition of slavery. And what's happened is that that sense of morality has been co-opted. So, because of the campaign that the media has embarked upon for decades, actually, and I think they're actually instilling mental illness in us. But what they've done is co-opted our sense of morality so that, you know, that people think that, oh, to be racist is wrong, is morally wrong. And so what they're often doing is something called altruistic punishment. Now, if you think about, for example, suppose that you were the victim of an internet scam. And you were defrauded of £5 or £10 or something like that. You were clearly in the right, but if you were to actually bring an action against the perpetrator, the fraudster, it's going to cost you at least £35 in the county court and all the trouble, of writing letters and attending court and things like that. But many people will still do it, even though it's at cost to themselves. Because they do it on behalf of a population. In the jargon, a population is any defined group. So what they're doing is punishing altruistically. Now, what's happening with a lot of the juries, for example, when they convict someone that's been convicted of a racially aggravated offence, or a racial offence, or a hate speech offence, is that they're punishing on behalf of a population, but that's been usurped. And there's actually an extension of this, because it's taken further, where people will actually give false evidence. And this is what happened to Richard Edmonds and someone else I know as well, where someone, in Richard Edmonds' case, it was the daughter of the man who founded Class War. And she accused Richard Edmonds of doing something in the pub. I forget all the details. But she stood up and lied in court and had him sent to prison. And this also happened with another friend of mine. Again, coincidentally, another woman, a young woman, an extreme left winger, stood up in court and lied, you know, about what had taken place. And he also got sent down. So what's happening is it's an extension of altruistic punishment, that they're not only, you know, are punishing altruistically for a population, on behalf of a population, but they think, the end justifies the means, and the person that they're trying to punish is so bad, so evil, you know, a racist, that it justifies actually lying to manipulate the state to punish them and send them to prison.
And we're not just seeing that among members of the public. We're actually seeing that among members of the state, especially in America, with what's happened with Charlottesville, where they're saying these people are guilty just because they're racists. They haven't actually been convicted of a crime. The witnesses have been lying. They've been found to be lying. And the people in the state there have been found to be lying. And they're just saying that we should be going after these people because they're racists. It was like when Donald Trump, when he said, there's good people on both sides and there's bad people on both sides. Oh, no, you can't say that. The neo-Nazis have to be all bad. There can't be anything good in them. So regardless of what they say. So I would say it's not just the members of the public that are lying or being deliberately deceitful. You could take a look at Amber Rudd when she banned National Action. She didn't have any... She couldn't actually point to any crimes that they'd carried out. She just called them names, and that was good enough. We can call them names, and then we can get them listed as terrorists. So I see it's all linked together. The actual burden of proof seems to have gone. If you can slander somebody and accuse them of being a racist, then you don't need any burden of proof. That's good enough. Lock them up and throw away the key.
Yes, indeed. I've put. There's a section in this article I've just written about emotionality, about how they never actually address the arguments. They just go into ad hominem attacks, smears, non sequiturs, the whole barrage of displays of indignation, but they don't actually address the issues. Because it's feminine. This is my notion of Big Sister. When I realised that all the policies that have now been executed by the state are feminine. There's this xenophilia. They think that foreigners are great, and in my view, miscegenation is worse than paedophilia. The outcomes are far worse. But what you're dealing with is. Well, the essential thing is that females have evolved, over millions and millions of years, all these procedures, what I call procedures, to compensate for their inferior strength. Up until maybe 50 years ago, if a woman spoke out of turn, she was likely to get a slap. And if she angered the male, going back a bit before that, but not much more, she could have been kicked out of the house. So she has evolved all these mechanisms to compensate for the fact that, she's physically weaker than the male. She can't fight back. In a fight between a man and a woman, the man will almost certainly win because he's got testosterone, aggression, and as well as physical strength. But now we're in the state where the male can't use his natural strength. In fact, if he even threatens to use his natural strength, she can phone the police and the state comes down big time and causes all sorts of trouble. If there's a family, the family might never recover. There's all the family courts and all that business. So the men are a huge disadvantage nowadays.
Yeah,
and that's what's playing out in even in government, because as you say, Amber Rudd is acting emotionally. She's just calling them names and saying they're evil people, and has banned them, which is a terrible travesty, really. Most of the things they were doing were just attention seeking, weren't they? To get publicity. They weren't actually committing crimes of, really trivial ones like putting up stickers and things like that.
It was more an art project. I think a lot of it, if it had been the left doing it, it would have been no problem with it whatsoever. But because it was nationalist.
I got beaten up once. It was some years ago in Hull. I ended up. Lying on the road, being kicked by this member of Antifa, and he was caught, because the police arrived and he was still there, And he was bragging about it afterwards, but he got up, got taken to court, and he got a probationary sentence. If the boot had been on the other foot, I'd have got 5 years for that, you know, an unprovoked attack on a political opponent. You know, I'd have been sent down for 5 years, but he just got probation.
All right, it's cheered when people attack nationalists. Look at when Richard Spencer got thumped last year. The media was cheering it. It's okay to punch a Nazi. Well, I think
there's not just a lot of overt, you know, messages in the media. I think there's a great deal of subliminal ones too. And I think that people that are a bit flaky mentally, I think they pick up on them, you know, whereas a lot of people, it goes over their heads. So, you know, there's not only the overt propaganda, but the subliminal stuff. And the people that are a bit flaky, you know, they understand them better. And you know, it really is a subliminal message to attack nationalists, you know, attack these nasty racists, so, you know, killing them's justified and all this business. They won't say it out and out, usually, anyway. But those messages are there, you know, that some people, often the mentally unstable ones, can see. You know, they understand them better than the sane. And I really do believe that, you know, for example, this is, you know, separation from reality, which is psychosis. You know, if people are believing that women are equal to men or that blacks are equal to whites, you know, that is a detachment from reality. You know, that's mental illness. In proper psychological term is psychosis.
Complete madness is what it is. Well, just to take it back to the court cases. Then,
no, it's not complete madness, because I've seen complete madness. You know,
yeah.
You need to visit a mental hospital to see complete madness. No, it's much more subtle than that. It doesn't register as the mental illness, because it's, you know, it's become the norm.
It's just accepted. Well, when you this court case that you've got coming up, so you've got somebody defending you, and is that going to be in front of a jury on the Thursday? Is this a jury trial?
Yes, it is. It's Crown Court.
Right. Right, because you know, I was just mentioning that, because I know the ones with Alison Chablot, there's been lots of hearings, and it keeps getting pushed on to other times. I don't think there's actually been a jury there yet, but you've got an actual jury there at this one. So people that turn up, you know, they're going to hear a case and a defence and a prosecution and all sorts. The whole thing.
Oh yeah, scheduled to last a day to a day and a half. That's the expected time. In Alison's case, you see, because it's unprecedented, and it was, and also the that new organisation sprung from nowhere, the campaign against anti-Semitism. They started off as a private prosecution by them, which is you know, virtually unprecedented, and then they manipulated the Crown Prosecution Service to take it over. You know, so there's been lots of preliminary hearings and legal arguments, but when eventually it does actually go to trial, in her case, I'm sure there will be a jury the same.
And I should imagine it would be absolutely packed as well. So what's the follow-on from this? Because you've had some trouble with the council as well, and I believe you're going to be representing yourself to the council. Is that right?
Yeah. Basically, as a result of all this, and also me making some pointed comments in the council offices, they're trying to evict me. Now, I was expecting to get legal aid for that, but it's civil. And it turns out, because of my situation, I would be liable to over £4,000 in costs. You know, I would only have my costs paid if they exceeded £4,000. So I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to spend £4,000 on it. I'll defend myself. So I've written up a defence document that just went in the other day, actually. And because the worst they can do to me is evict me, which they would do anyway if I didn't defend it, I've just given them it with both barrels, and I think I should be putting that on the internet at on the website at some point, because you know it makes a nice change. Because normally, you know, if you've got a lawyer working for you, and then the lawyer instructs the barrister, and by the time you know it gets to court, you know, and they're saying, well, look, you know, you might believe that, but it won't do you any good. You know, for example, if you were to go up and stand up in court and say, well, this is all treason. I don't recognise the court. You're all aiding and abetting a foreign invasion. Well, you're not going to win the judge to your side, are you? So you're liable to get hammered. Whereas in the civil case, the worst they can do is evict me. So I've just given them it straight. You know, I really what I believe, and so that you know. I'm quite looking forward to, if I'm not locked up as a result of this trial, of seeing how they respond to it. But I do hope. I don't see any reason why I can't. There might be problems with sub judice and things like that. But I don't see any reason why I can't put most of it on heretical.com and maybe it will inspire others to. To use the same arguments, so, you know, a bit of inspiration. But you know, when I do let it fly, you know, people, you know, that's what happened with All About Women. You know, it wasn't intended to be a fun book, but I was so forthright, and I wanted to get so much information into the 50 pages that people treated it as a huge entertainment. So that might happen with this defence.
Well, I definitely like to see that. I'm sure you can redact any of it that you shouldn't really be putting online. And I think you stand a good chance.
Specific parts I'll leave out.
Yeah, I think you stand a good chance of winning that because it is the council, because it isn't the court, and you can bring a lot up, and it's your chance to have your say. And they'll be used to dealing with people that aren't of your standard of intelligence, I would have thought, Simon, as well. So I think you will probably impress them with that, and I hope you do get to keep your home. Well, just before we finish, just remind people when the court date is and what time they need to be there for, Simon.
Right, it's York Crown Court. It's near the castle. It's actually just across the way from the Clifford's Tower, that famous place in York. And it's Thursday, the 22nd of February, starting at 9:30.
Okay, so anyone that can get along to that, please do get along to that and support Simon. Simon, thank you very much for coming on today. I'll be back.
Wish me luck.
Yeah, I wish you all the luck in the world. I'll be praying for you that day as well. I'll be back tomorrow with Nat Danelaw. Thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.